Welcome back to the Girly MMA Fan Podcast. I am Mari. I'm your fucking host. We have a lot to fucking talk about. In the last 2-3 days, so much has fucking happened. And if you don't have time to stroll through fucking Instagram and search all of the fucking news that has happened, just don't worry. I got you. Sit back, relax. First and foremost, I just want to say how fucking hot it is in California. I don't know where the fuck you guys are from. I know I have listeners from all over. California has been on some other fucking shit. I'm currently in my room. I don't know. It has to be like 80 something degrees in here. It is like scorching in here. I can't even think. It's so fucking hot. There's fucking fires going on all around us. I woke up. My car's covered in ashes. Fire's burning like really close to us. So I know that there's a lot of people fucking being evacuated already. Anyway, enough of the rant, guys. Let's get right into the fucking biggest news of the week. John Jones vacates his light heavyweight title. The same day that he announced that he was vacating the belt, Dominic Reyes versus Jan was announced earlier that day, right? That fight is now officially, as of today, they're both going to be fighting for the vacant light heavyweight title. You know, I know that John Jones has said, it's time, I've been planning to move to heavyweight. This is not shouldn't have come as a surprise to anybody. And before we move on from this, I just want to mention Dominic Reyes, in my opinion, should have already had that title since the last fight because he won that fight. People want to say it was a really close fight, but not close enough that John Jones won it. Dominic Reyes definitely won that title. And ever since then, the rematch never happened, which to me blew my fucking mind. I wanted that rematch right away. It never fucking happened. And now he vacates his fucking title when he's about to fight John. And it's like Dominic Reyes will probably win the light heavyweight championship. But there's more. Anthony Rumble Johnson, you guys, plans on returning at light heavyweight. This changes so fucking much. Some might say that he might come back and be the champ. How fucking insane would that be if a retired Anthony Rumble Johnson, one of the fucking scariest fucking individuals in MMA, returning and being the fuck out of everybody in that division and just fucking being the light heavyweight champion. That right there, my friends, that is entertainment. You really become more invested when you start watching the lead up to these fights. So in one of those lead ups, when and if Anthony Rumble Johnson actually returns and gets a fight scheduled, you guys have got to watch the story, because I'm not going to sit here and like break down Rumble. Like, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just excited for what this means for the division. There's so much that's going on with that division. So many new possibilities. It's exciting. The fucking fangirl in me is just fucking living life right now. The next biggest news obviously is connected to that, which is John Jones is negotiating with the UFC to enter the heavyweight division. First off, I need to pump the brakes a lot of motherfuckers, because they're already, you know, talking about Stipe Jones. Dana White has already said Jones has got it. He's one of the best, but he's got to wait his turn. If he thinks he's going to come into the heavyweight division and just step right over one of the most dominating guys, that's not going to happen. You know, he has to wait his turn. So for the UFC and for John Jones, I want to say that it is the smartest thing to wait for Francis Ngannou versus Stipe 2 to happen and then give him Jones next, whoever the winner of that is. My question is what if they decide, you know, they don't want to wait? Rossen Struik just knocked out the fucking Junior Dos Santos to another planet. Daniel Cormier has already retired. Curtis Blaydes is already fighting Derek Lewis. So there's really no one that he can fight except for Francis Ngannou or Stipe. I think that everyone is assuming that Stipe is going to win that fight because he won the first time. I don't know, man. I don't fucking know. If Francis Ngannou catches him, I don't know what would happen. All I'm thinking of is What if Francis does win? Can you just fucking imagine John Jones and Francis Ngannou in there? Me and my part-time co-host is what I call him. Gabe had spoke about this on another episode. Like, what the fuck would happen? What would happen if it was Ngannou versus John Jones? Who would win that fight? Because if you remember, there was some tweet back and forth tweets between them a couple months ago of them kind of going back and forth talking about who would beat who, and that kind of brought up that conversation. I'm the first to say I called John Jones's bullshit. I was like, he's not fucking moving a heavyweight. Like, he has to be fucking crazy to do that. At the end of the day, I just didn't see it coming when it did come. I think at the end of the day, Dominic Reyes is the reason why he left that division. Anybody could say whatever they want. That is just my opinion. I never liked John Jones, by the way. I'm just... can't stand the fucking dude. He wants to make a bunch of mistakes in the UFC and be forgiven by his fans 1,000 times, and I just don't fuck with that. Now he wants to do good for his community and do this and do that, and it's like, bro, you're just, it's just not, I don't find it genuine. So so anyway I'm very interested to see how this is gonna play out. They could also do the winner. I mean, I think the UFC is going to give him the title shot right after that. And if they, I'd be surprised if they didn't. But maybe, I mean, Curtis Blaze also deserves that shot as well. So the only way I can consider the UFC giving, not giving a Jones that automatic shot at the belt would be because of Curtis Blaydes and then Derek Lewis. If Curtis Blaydes wins that fight, I could see the UFC, I could definitely see the UFC playing out Curtis Blaydes versus John Jones. I don't know about that. Think about that one though. Didn't think about that until I just thought about right now. I don't know, these are all possible matchups, guys. Tell me what you think about what possible matchups they might be doing with John Jones. Do you think they're automatically gonna do it? Do you think they're gonna kind of make him work his way in there? Israel Adesanya versus Paul Acosta. That was also announced. I'm gonna save the analysis on this one for when that comes up. But Jesus Christ, Paul Costa is like one of the scariest dudes out there right now. Izzy's obviously the champion. He's a great champion. He's defended his belt a couple times. He has his... I'm going to just come out here and say it. I feel like lately I'm just looking like a hater. But I just cannot stand Izzy. I just cannot stand him. He just comes off as this cocky motherfucker. And it's just one of those things where I cannot stand. But yes, if you were not aware, Izzy, I'm sure the entire fucking world knows, but Izzy versus Costa has been booked September 26th. That's going to be UFC 253. I was more than likely do an episode for that. Next recent news, Michael Chandler's last performance with Bellator. I did mention that in last episode. Now, this is what I'm excited for. I am like full-blown fangirl moment with Michael Chandler. Dana White was asked in a press conference whether or not he was interested in meeting with Michael Chandler. And Dana White said that he's earned it and he will be more than happy to sit down with Michael Chandler. I'm so fucking stoked for that to happen. This might be happening sooner than later. Michael Chandler since then has came out and said that he knows he has options. He threw out the names like PFL, he threw out 1FC, and then he did throw out UFC. But it gives me the hopes that he's obviously not looking to stay with Bellator. He's shopping. So what that does for the UFC, we shall see in the fucking future. I'm not going to get too excited, but we're ready for you, Michael Chandler. We are fucking ready for you. All right, next up is Dana White's Contender Series. It was on last night. I did check out the fights. The first fight was kind of odd. Across came out there super fucking cocky. Was kind of came out super strong. Comes out and fights Kevin Seiler. So here's the thing. He looked like really good in the beginning of the fight. But even I think it was who was announcing? I think it was Paul Felder even had mentioned, I was literally thinking the same thing. This dude gave me Conor McGregor arrogant ass, you know? And he came out there and he was like doing too much. Sure enough, he got so fucking tired by the end of the third round. Dude couldn't even fucking stand up. Dana White basically said, hey, bro, you need some time. Like, I'm not ready to give you a contract. No, it was actually pretty good to watch in the first round. And then fucking all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he just got so tired. I want to say I even heard dude say, like, I'm super fucking tired. Like, or I'm out of shape. I think it's what it was. Next up, you guys, this next fight, this was a heavyweight bout. And this is, I guess I'm so invested in the heavyweight division right now because there's just so much that's going to happen. So do you see anybody come up as upcoming prospects? And like this dude, Josh Parrison, 13-3. Anybody that looks good in the fucking heavyweight division, I'm going to fucking be rooting for you. All I need you to do is move your head around and fucking have good cardio and we're fucking good. I'm a fan. Out of the UFC, I mean, out of the contender series, you guys, we are getting some really good heavyweights and I'm excited. This guy is on a 6-fight winning streak as of yesterday. So, the next fight, Arion Conce and Matt Dixon, this guy was basically, you know, they were going at it. They were grinding. Arion just grinded harder. There was one really awkward point though in the fight where there was like 3 seconds left in the fight and dudes like looked at each other. They're like starting to fight. There's like 2 seconds up. Conce, I don't know how to say his last name. Looks up at the fucking clock. Looks at the guy, looks at Matt. They both agree to stop fighting with 3 seconds and just walk away from each other. Dana White was fucking pissed. So Arion ended up getting a contract. But before he told him that he got the contract, Dana White was like, don't ever fucking do that again. Like, I mean, you're trying to fight for a UFC fucking contract and you look at the fucking guy and walk away. What if dude would have just been like, fuck this guy. I'm going to wait for him to turn around and fucking bench Kohei of this motherfucker, you know? Like, come on, bro. You just don't fucking do it. So, his brother fought in the main, at the last fight, but we'll get there. The next one I'm excited for, Cheyenne Buys, you guys, versus Hillary Rose. This chick looked fucking amazing. She looked so fucking good. She beat the shit out of fucking Rose. Her cardio looked amazing. Her ground game looked amazing. She's fucking scrappy. She's saying shit like, I want to be a fucking gangster like all these other bitches in the UFC. And then she comes up to she comes up to Dana White and asks him why he hadn't been reading her like messages or some shit, like on some real gangster shit, who comes up to their boss like, why you been leaving me on fucking red? I like her attitude. I like her vibe. She's former Invicta contender. She does have that experience to come into the UFC. She's had enough fights there where I am confident that after getting her contract, because she did get a contract, we are going to be hearing of her. I'm not going to say she's a prospect yet, but she's coming into a division, strawweight division, which needs some contenders. Okay, so I'm excited to see her in the UFC and her next fight. The next fight, this is the brother of Orion, Luis Conce, I don't fucking know, versus Victor Reyna. You guys, this dude, Victor, he looks so fucking intimidating for sure. I looked at Luis and was like, bro, like you look like small compared to him. Victor looks so fucking ripped. Took him about a couple minutes to not knock out, but TKO his opponent. He looked excellent. So both brothers did get the contract. Anytime I see brothers, I get worried because you got people like, you know, Gilbert Burns and Herbert Burns, which I'm not a fan of Herbert Burns. I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan. I feel like they kind of shat the they get all these good positions of the UFC because of who their sibling is, right? You see the same thing with Valentina Shevchenko's sister. I don't think she's good. I'm not a fan. She also got a big opportunity a couple times already, and she got her ass kicked both times. So, yeah, so that is my thoughts and the results and who got contracts for week three of Dana White's Contender Series. Moving on. So I wanted to do just a little recap on UFC 252, nothing too crazy. I don't want to recap the entire card. I am going to only recap the fights that I like really am interested in talking about. The controversial couple of wins on this card. I don't want to say it's controversial win because it was definitely not controversial. Or for some, I don't know. I guess it's all on perception. Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier defeats him unanimous decision. It was really hard to watch this fight and watch Daniel Cormier struggle after that eye poke. Pretty sure everyone knows and has seen the pictures of Daniel Cormier's eyes and how bad it was. It's impossible. It really is impossible to say that it didn't affect Daniel Cormier in the fight. Like, to me, I had that fight. I had that fight 2-2 coming into the fifth. And who knows? Who knows what would have happened if that eye poke wouldn't have happened? I feel like you have to be ignorant to say that that eye poke like plays no contribution to the actual win. Who knows how what would have happened if he would have been able to see that entire fucking fight. Guess we'll never know, guys. Daniel Cormier has already said that he wants to retire, so much love to Daniel Cormier. It has been a pleasure watching him just be a perfect example, just a company guy. You guys, he has been a real example of what a fighter should be in the UFC. Never let the fame get to him. It's sad to see him go from the sport, but I don't think that he has anything to be ashamed of. He was an excellent champion, and I'm sure that we'll continue to see him in a lot of the work that the UFC has for him, as far as like commentary and stuff. Anyway, the next fight. This is probably the fight that was just talked about so much. I would say even more than the Stipe fight. Marlon Vera versus Sean O'Malley. Okay, so I'm gonna be very honest with you and say that I believed in the beginning of this, okay, before looking into it, before waking up and reading about it, on Saturday night, I was in the middle of a party for my best friend. We had a birthday party. So I was watching the fight while at this dinner as respectfully as I could. So I was, although I was paying attention, I didn't really analyze a lot. I watched the fights the best I could, like I said, and then, you know, made my assumptions there. But then the very next day, I ended up going out with some friends and talking about the fights with, Gabe, who has been on the podcast. And, we started talking about is the injury. So I, like I said, hadn't looked back at it, and I was just looking at what was online. And so I was adamant that O'Malley had got injured. I was adamant about it. And Gabe was like, no, he didn't. You know, I've read about it. I've talked about it. I've looked at it. Like, he was, you know, it was a calf kick that Chito had landed. Like, you have. So me being stubborn, I was like, no, you're fucking crazy. You know, da, da, da. But I still went back and I did look at the fight. And I did my own research. Now, there is a couple of things that I want to bring up so that my listeners can go back and watch and read that I thought were super informative. And this one video specifically kind of changed my mind and kind of let me see the perspective as far as the analysis of the fight. And it was super specific. It kind of broke down not just the actual kick itself, but what that kick did to the calf, you know, kind of brought it to the position where it ended the fight. So the first video that I want you guys to go watch is on YouTube. It is by a person named Stan Lee MMA. I want to also reference another Instagram page. You guys, this Instagram page, I recently found them. UFC Fight Stats on Instagram. Go ahead and give him a follow. He has great content. I've communicated with him briefly, and he posted this picture named Anatomical Analysis. This kid goes into really good detail, but he explains the actual injury. He explains the actual like foot and all of the parts that it affected when he did kick his calf. So you guys check out that post. The analysis was done so great. So a shout out to UFC Fight Stats. You guys go check it out. Maybe it'll help you better understand. Those are the things that I want you guys to go watch and then listen to my opinion, okay? Now my opinion, once watching these and reading a couple things, Chito did the right thing. He had the right kick at the right time. And for the people saying that he didn't deserve that fight, if you're going to tell me that Darren Till just fought with a torn MCL and he didn't drop out of the fight, don't fucking tell me that O'Malley standing there with the fucking whatever injury it was. I don't buy it. I think the kid is kind of weak. And I think that a lot of people hopped onto the train really quick. And now they just want to take away this win from Vera, which was completely deserved. And so let's just give Vera the respect for landing a perfectly good shot to the calf that ultimately led to the injury of Sean O'Malley. And mad or not mad, the next fight, the KO from fucking hell. Jesus. Dos Santos versus Rossen Struck. I was in the middle of the restaurant, like I said, and me and my buddy were watching the fight, and it came out of nowhere. He almost fell down onto the cage and he got knocked out. I feel like he came back a little bit and then he got knocked out like all over again. It was just, I love Junior Dos Santos. Anytime that he gets any type of hurt, I get upset. Props out to Rossen Struck for the sportsmanship. He sat down next to the cage once he had knocked him out. Real fucking classy dude for him to do that. Sat down, talked, chopped it up a little bit with him. That was really fucking cool. I'd love to see that. Moving on, I just want to talk about a couple of things from this upcoming card. Not a couple of things, actually one person. I am so excited to watch Mariah Akbulova versus Shauna Dodson. This is obviously a fight that they set up for her as a win. They're trying to, I think that more people after her UFC debut are like totally on her shit now. Might have been since the contender series, but she did lose to Tracy Cortez. So she might have lost a little bit of wave there. But once they saw her performance at her debut at the UFC, I think that a lot of people jumped back on the train. So I had been, you know, following her, and I just believe that this girl's gonna go places like super fucking fast, and I still believe that. But I think a lot of people have jumped on train as well, and there is some obvious buildup from the UFC. I think that they're trying to build her to be the superstar, and I really hope that Akbulova doesn't fall for it too much. I think that even right now, the move with Shauna Dodson, they're basically feeding Shauna to the sharks. Like, she is 3-4. She has lost her last three fights. Let that sink in. Okay. The last win that she won was at the Ultimate Fighter finale, and even then that was debatable because a lot of people said there was some controversy around that. So let's go back and let's just think about what Mariah's done. Mariah just debuted, but here's the thing, guys, she's 9-1, okay? And she just had a beautiful performance on her debut, like dominant. She's on a 3-fight winning streak. The only fighter that she has fought that she has lost against was Tracy Cortez. Tracy Cortez is currently in the UFC also right now. So she does have that experience on fighting, you know, somebody like Tracy Cortez. But Tracy Cortez is also, if you look at, she's on a 7-fight winning streak. Come on. What are we doing? It's like, it's so obvious that what the UFC is doing is, and it's kind of really sad because, you know, you got, you know, you got Shauna here just fucking trying to get a fight, and then you fucking feed her to their Acapulva. Like, she's obviously going to beat the shit out of her. And, you know, there after that, it's going to be like all rise, you know. So, yeah, guys, that's all I wanted to talk about. Talk about all the fucking recent news. Anyways, so if you don't follow me on Instagram, go ahead and give me a follow. I am constantly on the Girly MMA Fan podcast page. Also, don't forget to subscribe for the podcast. I will be having on a guest, which I'm super excited to tell you about. It is going to be for next month. Until then, though, we will talk very, very fucking soon. Peace out.